The best way to learn a language? Immersion. Living where the language is spoken and using it every day. But if that's not in the cards this year, you can still learn a language the second best way. And that's with Babbel. Be a better you in 2024 with Babbel, the science-backed language learning app that actually works. Don't pay hundreds of dollars for private tutors or waste hours on apps that don't really help you speak the language. Babbel's quick 10-minute lessons are handcrafted by over 200 language experts and help you start speaking a new language in as little as 3 weeks. Babbel's designed by real people for real conversations, and their tips and tools are approachable, accessible, rooted in real-life situations, and delivered with conversation-based teaching so you're ready to practice what you've learned in the real world. Here's a special limited-time deal for our listeners. Right now, get up to 60% off your Babbel subscription at babbel.com/bluewire. That's 60% off at babbel.com/bluewire, spelled BABBEL.com/bluewire. Rules and restrictions apply.
Welcome to the RotoWire Prospect Podcast, brought to you by WinBet. I'm your host, James Anderson, and got a really special guest this week, Craig Mish of SportsGrid, where he hosts daily. Craig is, you know, as plugged in as anyone on the Marlins. And I mean, if you were following his work, you would have been all over Trevor Rogers last year. And I think the Marlins, part of why I wanted to have Craig on is he's just really great at this and really good at what he does. But also just the Marlins are about as fun a team for me to kind of talk about. I always seem to be just super high on a few of their young big leaguers. And then they've got a ton of exciting guys in the farm system as well. So really excited you could join me, Craig. How you doing?
I'm doing good, James. Great to be with you as always, and appreciate the kind words, no doubt. It's kind of funny that I still have a first love for fantasy, but it's sort of like, I'm transitioning to doing so many other different things that fantasy for at least 2022. I mean, I wouldn't say it's on the back burner for me because it never is, and I still play it and I still love it, but with just so many other things that I have going on with covering the Marlins and with Sports Grid and two shows that I'm doing now for them, it's sort of like, it's nice to sit back and have like a fantasy future conversation, which I don't get to have that often anymore.
Well, no, I mean, you're great at it, man. You're great at wearing multiple hats, and congrats on the new gig, by the way.
Thank you.
Very, very cool. So, you know, let's just jump right in here. I there's so many exciting players in this organization, majors and minors. The one that I think I've probably talked the most about this offseason is Jazz Chisholm, who is a very divisive player for fantasy because you kind of either see maybe another level there, or you sort of see the plate skills from last year and see some significant downside with Jazz. Where do you sort of stand on him in terms of whether there is another level there that he will reach in the near future, or whether he kind of is what he is at this point?
It's probably one of the more complicated players, I think, in all of Major League Baseball, because I think that his skill set speaks to, you know, maybe a top 10 player in fantasy, top 20 player in Major League Baseball. I mean, all those things are definitely possible. But, you know, there's a lot that comes with Jazz Chisholm, you know, like Jazz knows who he is, James. And you know, there's an element to me with that, that I wonder, you know, as far as, you know, keeping him grounded, still a young kid, extremely fun on the field, immensely talented. But, you know, we saw this already in the first week of the season. The Marlins decided to bat him, you know, at the bottom of the lineup. And then they took him out after the first game, and he went to social media and, you know, showed some immaturity, I think, with all of that. I think that you could make the case that he was correct, and you could make the case that Don Mattingly was incorrect by putting him where he has in the lineup. I think all those things are fair, James, but, you know, you work for somebody and I work for somebody too. And, you know, in the end, you just got to handle those things, I think, you know, privately. And that's part of this, you know, that's part of this player. It's just the nature of who it is. I think the Marlins knew that when they acquired him from Arizona. And can he hit another 20 home runs in a season? Of course. Can he steal another 20 bases potentially in a season? Of course. The swing and miss is always going to be there for him, just given the nature of the uppercut swing that he has. When he makes contact, it goes a long way. When he doesn't, it looks like a really long swing and people complain about him. So naturally, I think there's a ton of more upside there. future for fantasy still very much to be determined. Miami's off to this slow start now, so you got to kind of wonder how long they're going to be batting him at the bottom of the lineup. But James, as you know, if he's batting eighth or ninth in a lineup and doesn't play every day, I think he'll play mostly every day. I think it's overblown about him missing just that one game. I think he's in the lineup virtually every day. But plate appearances are going to be a lot more limited for a player like him if he's batting eighth or ninth, and especially against left-handed pitching.
Yeah, I was surprised that he kind of reacted the way he did to what happened earlier in the season. He's obviously very confident in himself, but I mean, there is sort of an element of, you know, being a good teammate as well. And you know, if he performs up to his expectations, he'll play, you know, as much as he wants. He'll hit high in the lineup. So I was a little surprised by that. But I think his talent, I mean, the reason they went and got him for Zach Gallen was because they didn't have a position player in their system at that time with his type of upside, and they had a ton of pitchers. So hopefully they kind of let this play out. What do you think the relationship is like between him and Don Mattingly? Obviously easy to kind of see, like from the outside, it might look like it's a little rocky. Don's old school, Jazz is about as new school as it gets. How do you think their relationship is?
Yeah, I think it's fine. Donnie's really good with the young kids. He, you know, calls them all like his sons. I personally don't think there's any issue there. But Donnie even said it before the season. I think, if I'm not mistaken, Jazz crashed like one of like the media sessions that Donnie was at very early on in spring training. And somebody asked a question about him, and Donnie said, you know, I'm not interested in the blue hair anymore and the chains and whatever. And I think that caught some people by surprise that he said that. But I will say that as old school as Donnie is, he does have the new school bones in him. I don't want to, you know, put that on him, because I really don't feel like he is that way. But I think that what Jazz is going to have to understand at some point, and it's very hard to do, is like baseball more than any of the others, James. We see this in the NBA. And I think that that's the problem that maybe some people have, like a lot of people rush to Jazz's defense. Why can't he pop off? Why can't he say where he wants to play? Why can't he not want to be in the lineup? I think all those things are true. But more so, I think personally, in baseball, than in the NBA, than in the NHL, than in the NFL, where we see all this drama, this guy wants to leave, and this guy says he doesn't like this guy, and this guy won't play for this coach. Baseball is so much a team sport. You know, it is really they call football really, but it's such a quarterback sport at this point, let's be honest, in the NFL. Baseball's like, one guy is in general not going to win games for you unless his name is Ohtani, right? Because he does both. He's a pitcher and the hitter. So Jazz can be everything that he is on the field and be this dynamic, unbelievable offensive and defensive player, but he's got to chill out a little bit with the non-baseball stuff and just go out there and be himself and do the things that he does. And no one's muting him, and no one's telling him to stop talking and stop doing his Euro step or dance around or backflip, do all of those things. But I mean, James, well, you can't basically like and retweet things that says negative things about your own manager. That's just, and especially Don Mattingly too, well, right?
To me, Mattingly can handle that. It's just more like, kind of, you know, like, you have, there's a lot of guys on this roster. It's a pretty talented roster to me. I mean, you're gonna want to just give other guys, you know, a start here and there. Like, it doesn't have to be you're starting 162 games type of thing. I mean, you can start 150 games, and
that's what it's gonna be. Right? Everyone's so worried, James. He's gonna start 150 games if he's healthy. I mean, he'll get a day off once every 2 weeks. It was so much about nothing, but this is sort of the deal with Jazz, who I like very much and I communicate with a lot. But you know, just play the game, have fun, do whatever you want, but don't disparage Donnie. I mean, come on, of all people.
So another Marlins hitter who I was very high on this past offseason was Jesus Sanchez, who had a big game a couple days ago. Just love his power potential. They seem to really like him.
Yeah.
What do you think Jesus Sanchez's numbers look like at the end of this year?
I don't know. I think he'll have the most home runs per plate appearance on the Marlins this season. But James, I just don't see him staying healthy for the entire season. I don't think he's a center fielder. I think he can play the position. He has had lower body and lower leg issues ever since he came up through the minors with Tampa Bay. And I think Miami's idea in terms of his sprint speed and some of the advanced metrics that show that he could play center field, I think that is accurate. But he's a corner outfielder, and he's going to be doing a lot of running out there. I am concerned. I don't think that he holds up the whole season. We already saw almost an injury. He ran into the wall. He was sort of grabbing his groin a little bit. But the power is immense. If I had to guess at the end of the season, if you said to me, home runs per plate appearance, who leads the Marlins, it will be him. I could not project 500 plate appearances for this player. He has not gotten there. He's been, you know, banged up for different issues over the course of years. But you're right. There's a ton of high upside there. Has a little trouble with the high fastball, especially against lefties. But in essence, between 20 and 30 home runs is fair. But James, I think he's going to be that guy that's going to do that in 400 plate appearances. That's someone in fantasy baseball next year is going to draft saying, well, if he only gets to 500, imagine how many he can hit. And I don't think he's ever going to be that guy playing center field. I don't think that can happen.
Yeah, you know, that's a really interesting take on it. I hadn't really thought about that. I mean, I did think it was sort of weird that they constructed the roster this way, where they almost, like, you see other teams do this where you kind of pushing guys into positions that you might be asking too much of them, and it almost never works. Like that whole idea, like, it seems like the Reds are always doing that with guys, and like the White Sox kind of doing that with like Andrew Vaughn and stuff,
right?
It just never seems to really work. So no. I was a little bit surprised by that. Like they have this really special hitting talent, and then they go sign two other corner outfielders. Yeah, I mean, that's an interesting take. So
it is. And I'll tell you, in talking to players just like around the league, like I think that it's a good assessment for people, especially for the future of fantasy too, is that it's sometimes it's really difficult. And James, you've been following baseball for a long time, like I have. We always want to compare players to other players. And I think that makes us comfortable with assessments on our players when we're drafting and we're scouting and we're looking at players over the course of the season. And that's why players like, as an example, roundabout way of answering, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, you know, Ryan Mountcastle. There's a reason why those big dudes don't play the outfield, James, you know, like there's a reason, because they keep getting hurt. Then no one looks like those players in the outfield, and no one looks like Jesus Sanchez in center field. It's just not the prototypical guy. What happens when players are miscast and put in different positions? They get hurt. And Sanchez has already had that history to a degree. So when I see like the biggest outfielder to me in baseball, not history necessarily, but the one that always stands out to me was Jose Canseco, because Jose Canseco just didn't look the part of an outfielder. And his body, I mean, obviously his body broke down for a lot of other reasons, but he started falling apart. He couldn't play the outfield anymore. And that's why at some point Yankees just have to admit it. They got two DHs on the team. You know, the Orioles finally figured that out real quick with Mountcastle. I think he came up a third or outfield or whatever it was. And the Marlins, unfortunately, are going to find out the hard way if they're trying to play Sanchez, I think, all season in center.
So speaking of two DHs, I mean, I think at least my read on things is like their best hitters are in no particular order. Jesus Aguilar, Jorge Soler, Jesus Sanchez, Abisel Garcia, Garrett Cooper. Maybe Jazz can kind of join those guys. Mm-hmm. But do you think there's room for all those guys to sort of get what would amount to near everyday playing time when they're healthy? Or do you see any of those guys as being more kind of 4 to 5 days a week type of guys that might not be as useful in weekly leagues?
Well, with Cooper and Aguilar, it's a pretty simple 50-50 split at first base and DH. And so provided that they deliver on the numbers that they've delivered previously per plate appearance, I don't see any reason why that wouldn't change. You know, early on in the season, we've already seen Avisel Garcia, who they signed to a pretty significant extension for them, free agent contract for them, 4 years, $45 million. That's big in Marlins terms, of course. Already has missed two games. So it remains to be seen. They say he's healthy, and so we'll find out what he looks like this weekend. And in terms of Soler, he actually, James, has looked pretty good in left field. He made a catch up against the wall and ran in to make a catch too. And I know when we're looking at box scores, we don't necessarily look at that. So I think that he can play the solid position of left field. And so with him and left, Garcia in right, who, by the way, is not a center fielder either, and then Sanchez in center. To me, that's where most of the time will play when they are healthy. The other player that's played quite a bit outfield early on in the season, I think to the surprise of most, even with him playing a little in spring training, is Brian Anderson. It's like he's moved almost exclusively to this super utility type, and he has struggled in a really big way adjusting to that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's he's been kind of trending down a little bit,
a lot
over the last couple of years. Yeah. How's Joey Wendell looked really quickly?
He looks great. And when they got him, I think the idea was to consider playing him every day. They took him into the spring. He looked fantastic. He's actually the guy that if they do look, we're still so early into this thing, but the early results on the lineup have been pretty miserable. If they do decide to switch things up and they played Wendell, they batted him first or second against righties the rest of the season and just plugged him in at third, I wouldn't be surprised. They have to figure out something, James, with Brian Anderson, because 2 years ago, this is a player that you looked at and thought long-term extension, hot corner, gold glove, and then, a couple of injuries, and wow, he has fallen out of favor big time. His at-bats have looked awful in this early part of the season. So if they were to part with Anderson in some way at some point this season and sort of hand back over super utility to John Birdie and maybe get somebody else, an arm or something else, boy, that would just pencil in Wendell every single day. But I think between Wendell and Anderson, Wendell gets at least 20% more plate appearances over the course of the season.
That's very good to know. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about this really exciting pitching staff. But first, a message from our sponsors.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
WynnBET is now the exclusive sponsor for RotoWire's fantasy podcasts. WynnBET brings you all the latest action with a user-friendly interface, moneyline bets, boosted parlays, over-unders, round robins, live betting, and so much more at your fingertips. Want a break from sports betting? Head into WynnBET's digital casino and take a spin on roulette, double down in blackjack, slam the slots, or try your hand at baccarat. WynnBET is currently available in 9 states: Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Louisiana, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Tennessee, and Virginia, while rapidly expanding. At WynnBET, the possibilities are limitless. Register for WynnBET today, make a qualifying deposit and wager to receive $200 in free bets. Promotion may vary by state. Download WynnBET now. That's WynnBET. WynnBET, the exclusive partner for RotoWire's fantasy podcasts. All right, we're back. Craig, the talk of the radio show I did today was Jesus Luzardo. man, he looked better than I thought he was going to look in any start this season, and that was his first start of the season. How blown away were you by that performance, and how do you envision his season unfolding here?
Yeah, the organization is so bullish on Jesus Luzardo, and he's probably the one divisive figure that I have, you know, sort of battled with people in the organization, because when they made that trade last year and they acquired him, James, you know, look, first of all, I thought Miami should have extended Starling Marte and they didn't. And then they go out and they get Luzardo. And let's be honest, they didn't need Jesus Luzardo. They needed a hitter, you know, like they needed some bats. They didn't do it. So, I mean, I wouldn't say, James, that I clowned them, but I was very critical of that trade just because the adage is you can never have enough pitching. But in this case, I thought the Marlins had enough pitching. And then Luzardo comes out last year and is just skipping balls 54 feet. Like, it looks so bad. And you know what happened this offseason? You know, you couldn't really train with your coaches, but they had these like pseudo workouts amongst players. And I'm keeping in touch with all these guys, James, you know? So, and they're all like, Luzardo looks really good and he looks different and he looks sharp. I'm like, all right, you say so. Spring comes, we see the same thing. He looks good again. You know, I saw two of his starts in person and, you know, I'm getting the text. I told you, Luzardo. I'm like, I don't know. I'm going to wait till the regular season on this one. Listen, I already bought your Eason Diaz and Monte Harrison. I got to wait this out on Luzardo, right? Like, I'm not going down this road again on every guy you tell me is going to be good. I'm not going to do that. But, I mean, come on. The results yesterday were insane. Now, I am not taking away anything from Jesus. I'm not going to do that. 12 strikeouts, 5 innings pitched. As good of a fifth starting performance of any player in baseball this season. Unequivocally. Now, one thing I did not realize was apparently, and this is no shade, no pun intended, on Luzardo, but apparently the hitters couldn't see anything yesterday because of the shadows in Anaheim for about 4 innings. That's what I heard. So is that me just still not being bullish and not willing to just take my L on Luzardo, or should I just say he's great and just move on? I'm going to want to see more, James. I'm going to want to see a little bit more from him. The results were incredible. It's the best I've ever seen him look. It's Ohtani, it's Trout. He got those guys out, but I want a little more. You know, I want Phillies on Sunday, James. You know, like I want to, or Cardinals next week. I want to see him do it a couple times, and then certainly I can get back to you with a better result. So I don't know if I'm a denier or a doubter, but when he came up last year to Miami, his ERA was like 10 after 3. So he just couldn't get anybody out, but he looks like a different guy.
Yeah, Jeff Erickson made this point on the XM show today that those Anaheim getaway games are always just great for the starting pitchers involved. So I think, you know, it might be a case of, you know, the people that drafted Jesus Luzardo, you know, you nailed that pick. But at the same time, maybe if you have Jesus Luzardo in a dynasty league or something like that, you now might be the time to sort of sniff around on what you could get for him. There's also just the durability concerns that have been sort of longstanding with him. So, you know, I hope we get, you know, 15, 20 more starts, kind of that same caliber of bat missing stuff. But you're right. I mean, it is early and there are some contextual issues with, you know, fully buying in on that performance. But
yeah, I would say that if you watch, and he didn't do it yesterday, but he did it in the spring a couple times. If you watch him, and his tell for me, it's the easy poker tell for me, is when, James, it sounds crazy, but when he is skipping balls 3 feet in front of home plate, he's got nothing that day. Like, you just know something is up with him. I saw that a couple times, and that's when you see Mel Stottlemyre go to the mound. They refocus him and get him going. He seems like he's in his head a little bit. Look, again, is he better than their fourth starter? Eliezer Hernandez is probably not saying very much. Eliezer probably is the 5 on their team anyway. They're just splitting up lefties with Rodgers being the 3. But it could be something for the future. He was one of the best pitching prospects in all of baseball. I am still a little skeptical. I want to see a little bit more. And maybe I'll just be the low man on this one and I'll be wrong, which I've been wrong many times before on. But I want to see a couple more from him.
So let's quickly talk about the top three guys in that rotation. Is there anything about Sandy Alcantara, Trevor Rogers, Pablo Lopez that the fantasy community might not know that you are kind of privy to that you think is relevant about either of those three heading into the year?
Yeah, nothing with Sandy. Sandy's 100% healthy, as happy as he's ever been, coming off, you know, setting his family up for life, plus $55 million contract. I think he throws seven innings every, I mean, with the exception of his first start, and maybe who knows in Philadelphia this week against Philadelphia, but a 7-8 inning guy every time, nothing new to know there. Trevor Rogers did not work out with the team this offseason, spent most of his time, I believe, in New Mexico. But I see no reason why the success that he had can't continue. And I think with Pablo Lopez, it's the obvious at this point with him, which is you draft Pablo Lopez in fantasy, and eight games in, he's top three in ERA, top two in strikeouts, top five in whip, and you think you got the best pick in the draft. And then a month later, he's hurt and he misses 2 months. So I don't know, James. Like, this is a recurring shoulder issue that he's had in the past. I talked to him in spring training. He said he's healthier, he's stronger. He didn't say it wasn't going to happen again, but he's been shut down, James, I believe, three of the last 4 years with the same issue. So I have to be in the June sell high on Pablo, no matter how good he's looked, because that's the hard part about fantasy. It's like, you know, when Noah Syndergaard was going so good in the past, it's like, how do you trade a guy like that? But you knew the shoe was going to drop at some point. So if you got out from under that at his peak, you probably did well in a deal. To me, that's the same thing with Lopez. If he makes 30 starts, he could be the best pitcher in their rotation. He just has yet to do it. So do I go by track record here of things that have happened or things that are not really projectable? That would be my opinion on Pablo.
Yeah, I mean, been rostering Pablo Lopez for many years, and I can definitely attest to if I'd sold him in late May every year, I would not have regretted it. So what's your read on the closer situation now and when Dylan Floro is healthy?
So Anthony Bender blew his first save opportunity. He almost blew the next one. I think that for people who are just looking at the stats and not the games, in the game that he got the save, he put a runner on, and then Brandon Crawford was at the plate of San Francisco. And for, I guess Gabe Kapler is very aggressive, James, on things that I'm not aware of, but on a absolute ball four, Crawford swung at a 3-0 to make it strike one. And he went out and then he hit into a double play, game ended, and Bender got the save. I think if Crawford walks, he blows that one too, and Miami doesn't have a win. The other night he ended up in a tie game, ended up getting loss. I still think he's their highest upside pitcher, but he's always one or two pitches away, James, from a wild pitch, from a blown save. And knowing the way that Mattingly and Mel are, I don't know that he fits their profile for a closer. I really don't. So Floro is not ready. I think that you probably will see him sometime in May. He hasn't pitched in any minor league games yet, so that's the first indication. Once you see him do a rehab game, he's probably two games away. So my guess is first week of the month, maybe, of May, or maybe late April. And there's a chance that they put Floro back in that role and put Bender in the middle inning role. Sulcer's looked fantastic for them, so that's, you know, clearly another option as a possibility. He saved games last year with Baltimore, but they really don't have the prototypical closer. The only thing that we know about Miami and we know about Mattingly is that, unlike these teams that say it's closer by committee, with Miami it never is. He picks one guy and he rides that guy to the end. So Anthony Bass is there. He got some save opportunities last year. He didn't end up closing any. They just don't have the guy, James. I don't know that they're going to have the guy, but Floro and Bender, to me, are the ones. And to be honest with you, James, I don't even think Floro really fits the bill as a closer either. They just don't have that ninth inning back end guy this year.
Huh, yeah, that's interesting. I mean, I bet there's probably some leagues where Bender, Sulcer, and Floro are all rostered. And people are just kind of hoping one rises to the top. But that's good info on that Bender save you referenced.
You know what it reminds me of a little bit? It's like kind of like Colorado situation in a way, where, you know, you didn't know who the closer was going to be, but if you did the smart thing, you just tried to figure out who the guy was going to be when Bard blew his first save. Like, you know, like that, that to me is the way to go with Miami. So if you didn't want to pay the price for Bender possibly being the closer, pay the price on Sulcer and pay that little price on Floro and stash him till inevitably Bender loses the gig. And that's not an indication that Bard is going to lose the gig, but look, they brought in that other guy, Godot. He looked fantastic. Who knows? Maybe that's a new closer in Colorado. So it's like sometimes the backup quarterback is more popular than the starter. I think that's Miami's deal in this case.
All right. The Marlins have a extremely exciting farm system, and we're going to talk about some of those guys in a second. But another message from our sponsors. Bet against others with no fees involved. That's right. No pesky hidden fees to ruin your day. Better Edge is a social betting marketplace where there's no fee on each transaction. Better Edge is a social betting marketplace, and chances are it's legal in your state. We bring betting back to its social roots where you can like, comment, and challenge other users all within the app. Play without getting played at Better Edge. Go to betteredge.com. That's BETTOREDGE.com to sign up today. All right, Craig. Khalil Watson is he's now ranked as my top prospect for fantasy from that entire draft class. His tools are obviously just off the charts. What have been your takeaways so far on Khalil Watson, and how high are the Marlins on him?
Yeah, this is a potential superstar in the making. The comparisons that I've heard are, I mean, I've heard a lot, but Jimmy Rollins is the one that really comes to mind here. And I don't know that Khalil's going to be a shortstop, second baseman, center field long-term. I'm not really sure. You know, the background here, James, is of course he slid in the draft a little bit, and you know, there's just sort of some questions as to why that happened. Miami had a hard time signing him and getting him to come out of high school and get him into a Marlins minor league uniform. And he has absolutely looked the part in the minor league games that he's played in spring training. And talent is not an issue for this kid. But James, he's very young. And naturally with very young players, you just don't know which way they're going to go. I don't know if you saw this, but the other day in a game, he hit a home run, and then his next at bat, he, you know, grounded out, threw the bat. I'm not really sure what happened in that spot. They pulled him out of the game. Not unusual, I think, for a young kid that's, you know, having his first, you know, slice of pro ball. But, you know, this is just something to watch with a player like this as well. I mean, I don't know of any, you know, background stuff there, but any player like that starts off like that, you just got to kind of keep an eye on. I know Miami just wants to keep him on this path because of the talent level. He should have been probably the number one overall pick in that draft. But yeah, James, dynasty wise, position player wise, you probably would know a little bit more about the player pool than me. But from Miami's perspective, yeah, there's no doubt that he's their best offensive minor league prospect without question in their system.
Yeah, I know there were some rumors about some background stuff on him before the draft, but there's also just this big movement among a lot of teams, most teams really, to kind of go after college guys more and more. So I mean, when you're talking about a guy where you're maybe not, you know, fully sure on the makeup, and he's going to be 3-4 years away, I think some teams were just hesitant to pull the trigger. But I mean, if he can just be, you know, the guy that we've seen, and from a talent standpoint, he could make a lot of teams regret passing on him. You know, a guy that not many teams got the opportunity to pass on is Max Meyer. And I mean, I'm sure you're just going to be getting questions until it happens. Like, when's Max Meyer going to be up? I mean, I assume that basically just has way more to do with the five guys in the big league rotation than Meyer himself. But is, like, would you say he is the de facto sixth starter at the moment?
No, I wouldn't say that. No. Interestingly enough, I think that the Marlins are going to, first of all, I think he's probably ready now, but I think the Marlins may have him pitch 2 months solid in the minor leagues before they call him up. And I, you know, by the way, I don't think this is like a service time thing at all. I think they just want him to be at his peak when he comes to the majors. But I know this is going to sound crazy, and not a lot of people are going to want to hear this, But let's be honest, James, they still, you know, they paid Braxton Garrett a lot of money when they took him in the first round several years ago. Mm-hmm. And I think in their heart of hearts, they know Meyer has a higher ceiling than Garrett, but they'd probably like Garrett to earn a little of that dough and come to the big leagues. He did have one really good start last year against San Diego, did Garrett. And I think he's the first one. I do. I think if something was to happen to anyone in the rotation, I think Garrett would get the first crack. After that, yes, it would make sense that Meyer is next. Let's also not forget about Edward Cabrera right now, who is hurt, but I don't think it's that serious. It's just a buildup back because he arrived late to spring training because of visa issues. But I could talk about Max Meyer all day. He's an interesting character. I've gotten to know him a little bit. This is a really, really tough-minded, want to strike you out every time individual, feels like he can pitch in the big leagues right now. Do you want to be a starter? Sure. Reliever? Sure. Mop-up man? Sure. Doesn't care. Put me in the big leagues. I'll get you out. Through five perfect innings on Tuesday night. Forgot to drink water and electrolytes, James, before the game. Forgot. That's who this kid is. Just so zoned in. You know, knows now in the future, I got to drink my Gatorade or Powerade before the game or I'm going to get a cramp. That's what happened. His foot cramped up. They're very lucky to have this kid. I can understand why Miami's been hesitant to trade him.
Yeah, he's a fellow Gopher, rare University of Minnesota product that could be a great big leaguer. Another guy that you had a tweet about, Eury Pérez, mm-hmm. a few weeks ago that went viral. Can you kind of elaborate on him and his potential and sort of how you see them handling him over the next year or so?
Well, he looks like he's on the fast track right now. They haven't held him back at all. He was the youngest player in baseball, I think, history to make a start at AA at his age. Look, he's not Doc Gooden, James. He's not going to strike out 400 guys his first season at 19. but there's a legitimate chance he could be in the big leagues next year at 19 years old. I could see it, or 20, whatever. I definitely could see it happening. He's been unhittable basically at every single level. He's tall, lean, throws hard. We mentioned Syndergaard earlier in the show. That's kind of the comp for him, is just what Syndergaard was when he first came up. And by the way, wonderful character. I've gotten to know him a little bit too. Wonderful human. Understands, I think, what it takes. Has been taken under the wing by Sandy Alcantara a little bit. So he's on the right path there too. Unlike another one of their pitchers in the organization that used to be their number one prospect, pitching prospect. So those three, James, those three, and Edward Cabrera maybe a little bit on that outside, but those three that you just mentioned, to me, are far and away the Marlins' top prospects. Like, we can sit here and talk, and I can go over Jose Salas and Peyton Burdick and J.J. Bleda and some of the others that they have, Zach McCambly, Jake Eater. They have a lot of others, trust me. But those three, that's the tier. And then everyone else is a guess.
Yeah, that's a top three that I think a lot of orgs would love to have as their top three. You know, you mentioned Uri's makeup a little bit. Like, you have to be pretty special to be able to pitch at the levels he's pitched at his age. You know, a lot of guys are just so far behind where he is in terms of being able to handle that level of competition as starting pitchers. So just hope that he can stay healthy. We will hit on a couple of the other pitchers you've been alluding to here in a second. But first, a message from Vivid Seats. Baseball is back. That's right. An entire glorious season, all 162 games. And with live events resuming, you can actually be there to catch all the action in person with Vivid Seats. Every backdoor slider, every round tripper, and every doubleheader can be experienced live. And with Vivid Seats rewards, you can start earning free tickets from your very first purchase. Just buy, collect stamps, and redeem. It's that easy. From behind the dugout to upper level, Vivid Seats has you covered for all the games that matter to you. Pro tip, buy tickets with your whole group, split the bill, and make progress towards your free ticket even faster. Just visit vividseats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats, life happens live. All right, Craig, you kind of alluded to Edward Cabrera a little bit. you know, for me, it seems like he has pretty good makeup, and there's just some durability issues that have kind of popped up here and there. And then with Sixto Sanchez, you know, maybe not so great a makeup and probably even more significant durability concerns. Is that a kind of a fair characterization on those two guys?
Yeah, I think that goes hand in hand. I think that's fair. And those two guys, you know, were, you know, sort of buddy-buddy over the last 2 years too. But look, Edward's a different guy. I'm not concerned with his character, with his makeup at all. And I am concerned a little with these nagging injuries that he's had and wondering, James, like, are these real injuries? Are they soreness? It's because nothing has ever seemed to be serious with him. It's just like these little things just have kept popping up. But with Edward, I know this is going to sound strange, but with Edward, I kind of think like Miami wants to get him healthy so they could trade him. Not because they don't like him, but it's just they like the others so much. They like Edward too. But inevitably, James, they've got to trade for some hitting on this team and some long-term sustainability as far as depth. And a lot of teams really like Edward Cabrera. So I don't know if he's a long-term Marlin. If he is, he's in the rotation. He's probably better than, to me, the two back guys that they have. We'll see what Lizardo is, Eliezer Hernandez. I think Cabrera could easily be the four there, maybe even the three. And if they were to trade Pablo Lopez or someone else, he could be the two. No question. He's in it for the long haul. But injuries, yeah. I mean, that's small injuries have been the thing with him. With Sixto Sanchez, I mean, is this like a complete give up done? I mean, I don't know. I mean, maybe. I mean, we're almost there, I think. Like, it's, I mean, he's not going to pitch for 2 years. You know, it doesn't really take too well to the conditioning and the listening part of it. And I just don't know. I just don't know. I mean, he could resurface at some point. I think that there have been pitchers before. Like, I guess a good comp would be like James Kaprielian, maybe. Like, but not that he's a, you know, bad character guy or anything like that. Just like, let's just use the injury. Like, pick pitcher A, James, that was top prospect, number one pitcher, Honeywell, right?
Yeah, I was going to say Honeywell, maybe.
Right. Disappears for several years. And then all of a sudden, now Sixto Sanchez on Pittsburgh is like throwing shutouts, you know? Like, I think that's probably the best scenario. But I right now, for me to predict a pitch being thrown by him in the big leagues this season, I can't do that.
Yeah, I mean, the red flags with him, I was just running away from him as fast as possible this offseason. Do you know at all, like, how that video got leaked of him?
Of him throwing? He leaked it himself? Yeah.
He put that out on purpose.
He did it himself.
That's so crazy.
I mean, a video of what looks like training your little leaguers to throw on a field. Yeah.
I don't think I've ever seen a player look that bad in a short clip like that. That was coming back from like an injury. I mean, that's just, I was so,
I don't think I've ever heard an organ. I don't think I've ever heard people in an organization have this much concern over the long-term future of a player than I've heard with him. So, you know, it's,
do you see, with Edward Cabrera quick, like, could he, you kind of mentioned they don't really have a closer. Do you think he could maybe be the answer there, or is he just going to be developed as a starter or traded, one of those two?
I think starter. Okay. Yeah. The one interesting thing that they could do, and again, I don't know, it's been mentioned to me at least, and not by any like key decision, but I mean, could they decide Meyer as the closer for this year? Like, could they do that? Could they bring him up, have him be eighth, ninth inning guy for the rest of this season? Could they pull a Rays Matt Moore, right? Could they pull a Wainwright? Like could that happen for a year and then put him in the rotation? Alex Reyes. I don't know. I mean, I think that wherever you drafted him and wherever his fab value is now is for both reasons, for starter and maybe even for closer. So that's probably a long shot. But the other thing, James, too, with Meyer even being considered for like that kind of role is, James, wouldn't the Marlins have to be good for that to happen?
Right. Like, yeah, I was going to say, like, if we look up in 2 months and this is a team that's, you know, pushing on like an 85 win pace, then Max Meyer's stuff absolutely plays in the ninth inning. I mean, his fastball slider combo, like, that's just elite ninth inning stuff right away. And you could kind of
Right.
Still stretching back out next year, and he could help the team win more games maybe in that role, but it wouldn't make any sense to do that if they're tracking on like a 76 win pace.
Yeah, that's the whole key, I think, with that.
So I think with JJ Bleda, there's, you know, a lot of really smart talent evaluators out there that are still in on Bleda. I think if he were not a top four pick, there wouldn't be this much optimism at all regarding him. He's basically just got that Arizona Fall League appearance to point to, other than his junior year at Vanderbilt. Household is the team on him being, you know, a true everyday player in the big leagues at some point?
Yeah, they're still bullish to the point where I think that this is going to be the key year for him. And then I could probably give you a lot more going into this conversation next year, but they're going to be very patient with him this year. Let him get his full complement of at-bats. There have been some videos and talk that he bulked up. I mean, I don't know, like hitting the ball harder. Is that the case? The early results say no, at least in the minor leagues. But I suppose the one thing, win or lose on JJ Bleda, and we don't know if it's a win or a loss for Miami. We're not even close to really knowing, I don't think, but he is older. So time is sort of running out for him to have that like uber prospect status. But I think, James, the question that you have to ask yourself, and I think Miami's probably saying this to themselves too, is that if they didn't take Bleda, James, the next team would have, you know, or the next team after that, or the next team after that. So, you know, sometimes the luck factor does go into this. Inevitably, it is up to the player. But that draft that Miami saw with CJ Abrams and Riley Green and, you know, some of these other players who were really coming on strong. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure that they look at it and go, yeah, wow. You know, maybe we should have done something else. But this is a full evaluation year for Bleda in Miami system. And they've had a hard time developing hitters, James. There's no doubt that as great as they have been with pitching, they have been the opposite with hitting. They have not developed a hitter offensively. Jazz was in Arizona system. Jesus Sanchez was in Tampa Bay system. So if you want to give them 50% credit, fine. Mm-hmm. But they haven't had a lot of development on the offensive side, and they're hoping Bleda is one that they do.
Yeah, that's kind of been, I mean, the team I follow most closely, the Brewers, that's been the story with them too. Excellent at developing pitching. All the hitting they have is kind of from outside the org for the most part. It's really interesting how teams can be so good at one and struggle with the other, but it also comes back to like which players you're selecting in the draft. And pretty much, you know, it was consensus. It was Vaughn, Rutschman, Bleda were the three best college hitters in that class. You weren't going to get anyone saying they weren't. So
right. And if Miami didn't take Bleda, how much further would he have fallen? One pick, two picks, three picks? So this is one for me that it seems more of the player than anything else. But look, you can indict Miami for offensive development in the minor league system at this point, because we've just yet to see it come to fruition.
Jose Salas and Ian Lewis are maybe my next two favorite of their hitting prospects. Actually, I'd like them both more than Bleda, but they're further away. Sure. Do you know why Ian Lewis is still back and extended? And then also, you know, what have you kind of heard about those two, and are you high on either of them long term?
It's funny, somebody asked me about Lewis the other day. I have not done my due diligence. All it would require probably is a text, and then I could tell you. But I honestly have not even checked on Lewis, so I don't know. But look, I think Salas is a tier above even Lewis.
Okay,
Salas has a real, you know, is a big kid. You know, third base, shortstop, some serious pop. You know, still seasoning in the minor leagues, but in that next tier of players that we would talk about in their system, that I included Eater, who's out for the year, and Zach McCambly, I think, is another pitcher that they value high. I think I put Salas in that tier as well.
Excellent. This has been really great, Craig. You're awesome at talking Marlins, awesome at kind of putting a fantasy spin on it, unlike a lot of, you know, beat reporters out there. So
where I come from, I will always have that.
Oh, of course.
I did a show for 10 years, talking, fantasy baseball, every single day. And it was amazing run doing it with all the different hosts that I had and being, you know, sandwiched in between RotoWire either before or after for 10 years. But look, I love fantasy baseball. I still love the game so much, but you know, life changes. You have to sort of, you know, adjust with what's going to pay the bills. And, you know, if there was, and by the way, I do a fantasy show on Sports Grid every single day for an hour, but then the nature of fantasy baseball has expanded so much into daily, into wagering and everything else that it's become something that I still love. And I enjoy these conversations like the one that we're having, but I've expanded the horizons to make the paycheck work, I guess is the best way to say it.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Well, you got to be following Craig at Craig Mish on Twitter. Anything else you want to plug before we
I have a new show on Sports Grid every day, 2 to 3 Eastern. It's called News Wire. It looks at the legalization of sports betting around the country. We bring in different panelists, experts to just talk about the expansion of that. And so in addition to my fantasy show, which I do every day, 11 a.m. Eastern, the News Wire show is every day at 2 o'clock Eastern. And, you know, James, it's awesome always catching up with you. You know, love your insight on RotoWire and everything else that you do. And thanks so much again for having me. Really appreciate it.
I appreciate it, man. Pleasure was all mine. Good luck the rest of the year in your fantasy leagues. I know you still play in some, so good luck. And hopefully the Marlins are competitive enough where some of those things we talked about can come to fruition here.
Yeah, just stay relevant for, you know, until August, James. It's all I need. That's really all I ask for.
If Max Meyer's getting saves in July, you heard it here first. Shape. Yeah. All right. This has been the RotoWire Prospect Podcast brought to you by WinBet. I'll be back next week.